Good morning, it's Thursday, April 30th, 2026, and the desk lamp is doing its usual quiet work. Coffee at hand, four papers open, the pale light just starting to make it past the curtains. Today reads as a money day in some ways, and a math day in others. The hyperscalers all reported quarters this week, the financing rounds are going off, and there's a wonderful Blackboard lecture on how all of this actually works under the surface. Let me walk you through four of them. First up, Anthropic. TechCrunch is reporting, citing sources familiar with the matter, that Anthropic has received multiple preemptive offers for a new financing round in the $850 to $900 billion valuation range, with a target raise of around $50 billion. Preemptive, in this context, means that investors approach the company rather than the other way around. The round is happening because outside capital wants in, not because Anthropic went looking. If it lands at the upper end, that would put Anthropic within striking distance of OpenAI's most recent valuation marks and would represent a roughly 7 to 10 times revaluation from where the company sat on its previous primary in 2024. The number is striking against Anthropic's reported revenue trajectory. Public estimates over the last 12 months have placed Anthropic's annualized run rate somewhere in the $4 to $7 billion range, dominated by Claude API revenue, Claude Code, and a fast-growing enterprise contract book. A $900 billion mark implies multiples that only make sense if buyers are pricing in a continued 3 to 5 times per year revenue ramp and an eventual stable share of the frontier large language model market. And if they believe Claude's trajectory in coding and agentic workflows persists into the next training cycle. The same investors are presumably modeling Claude Opus 4.7, which released this month, and a likely Opus 5 generation later this year as the products that bear out those assumptions. The capital, if raised, points squarely at compute. Anthropic's training and serving spend is the bulk of its cost base, and the partnerships disclosed earlier this month. The expanded $50 billion plus AWS commitment for Trainium class capacity, the Google and Broadcom collaboration on Tensor Processing Unit access, and the NEC build in Japan, all imply a forward training spend that dwarfs current revenue. A $50 billion equity round materially extends Anthropic's runway against that build-out and meaningfully reduces the chance the company has to take on debt or convert future capacity commitments into dilution. The signal to the rest of the industry is the harder thing to read. If Anthropic prints at $900 billion, it cements a market structure in which two private labs and one or two public cloud-aligned labs carry valuations and capital pools an order of magnitude beyond every other frontier player. Worth tracking whether the round closes near the floated number or compresses on the way to a final term sheet. A $50 billion round at $700 billion is a meaningfully different signal than the same round at $900 billion. Moving on to our second story. OpenAI published a research page essay this week framing Stargate, its multi-site data center program, with Oracle, SoftBank, and a roster of regional partners as the operational core of how the company plans to scale toward artificial general intelligence. The post is light on novel numbers and heavy on positioning. It lays out a mental model in which compute capacity is the binding constraint on capability progress, sets out a plan for adding multiple gigawatts of new training and serving capacity over the coming year, and asserts that frontier capability gains and product reach are now coupled to data center construction in a way that can't be wished away with software-only optimizations. The substantive content concentrates on three things. First, the post confirms continued build-out of the Abilene, Texas Stargate campus, alongside additional United States sites in coordination with Oracle, plus the previously announced United Arab Emirates expansion and new partnerships across Asia. Second, it sketches a power procurement strategy that mixes long-term power purchase agreements for clean firm power, behind-the-meter natural gas, and direct relationships with utilities to expedite grid interconnect timelines that would otherwise gate construction. Third, it positions Stargate's $500 billion plus committed capital expenditure as both training infrastructure and the inference base for hundreds of millions of free tier and enterprise users, preempting the criticism that the largest training runs cannot economically justify their dedicated capacity by reframing the same hardware as serving infrastructure for the consumer footprint. What's notable about the essay is the rhetorical shift. OpenAI has historically described compute as a means. This post is the clearest articulation yet that, internally, the company treats compute capacity as the objective function to be maximized, and reasoning, agents, and product features as the natural consequences of having the substrate. That mirrors the message public Anthropic Communications have been leaning into for the last 6 months, and Google DeepMind's equivalent in Alphabet's earnings calls. It also sets the framing for the simultaneous Anthropic financing reporting, the Microsoft and OpenAI exclusivity unwind, and the first quarter cloud earnings prints from Google and AWS that all landed within the same 48-hour window. The entire frontier conversation has rotated from model architectures to gigawatts and grid interconnect. Third up, an actual research drop, and a beautifully cross-sourced one. A new paper called XWAM for Unified Four-Dimensional World Action Modeling surfaced through three of the archive feeds, two of our topical archive feeds, and Hugging Face's daily papers in a single morning. It's an attempt to unify two streams of work that have been moving in parallel for the last year: world model video synthesis and direct robotic action prediction. Prior unified models, such as the earlier UWM, operate in two-dimensional pixel space and consistently force a trade-off. Either you get high-fidelity rollouts that are too slow to act on, or you get fast-action decoding from a model that hallucinates physics. XWAM resolves that trade-off by predicting multi-view RGBD videos rather than flat pixels, which gives the model a depth representation that's grounded in geometry, and by adding what the authors call asynchronous noise sampling. A denoising schedule that lets the model emit actions after a small number of diffusion steps, while continuing to sharpen the corresponding video for full resolution scene reconstruction. The architectural move that makes this work is small but interesting. XWAM reuses the final blocks of a pre-trained video diffusion transformer to spawn a depth prediction branch rather than training a fresh depth head from scratch. That means the spatial reasoning rides on top of the visual priors already baked into a strong video diffusion transformer, and the additional parameter count is modest. Asynchronous noise sampling. The asynchronous denoising contribution applies a specialized schedule at inference time, so action tokens are decoded under a low step regime while video tokens run the full denoising chain. Crucially, training samples from the joint distribution of action and video time steps rather than fully decoupling them, which keeps the inference distribution aligned with the training distribution, an alignment that earlier asymmetric rollout schemes have struggled with. The model is pre-trained on over 5,800 hours of robotic data and evaluated on RoboCasa and RoboTwin 2.0. Reported success rates are 79.2% on RoboCasa and 90.7% on RoboTwin 2.0, both ahead of the prior unified baselines, while the visual generations match or exceed the dedicated four-dimensional world models the team compares against. The combined result: fast policy decoding plus high-fidelity simulation rolling out of the same network is the kind of capability that has been nominally promised by the world model line of work for 3 years and has consistently failed to materialize at deployable speeds. And for our fourth and final story today, I want to point you at Dwarkesh Patel's latest interview, which is a meaningful departure in format. Rather than the usual conversational long form, the episode is a blackboard lecture in which Rainer Pope, formerly of Google's Tensor Processing Unit Compiler and Software Efficiency Teams, now chief executive of MATEX, walks through the math of how frontier large language models are trained and served. The premise Patel opens with is the right one. From a small set of equations, the published application programming interface prices, and chalk, you can recover most of what the frontier labs are doing internally. The episode tries to make that derivation legible. The substantive content runs through the standard scaling law and inference economics arithmetic, but with a level of mechanical precision that the public discourse usually elides. Pope walks through the parameter, floating point operation, and memory bandwidth budgets that determine whether a given model architecture is training bound, inference bound, or memory bound, and shows how application programming interface price points reveal the rough cost per token at which a model is being served, which in turn tells you the likely model size, the precision regime, and whether the lab is running a dense or mixture of experts backbone. He extends the same analysis to inference time techniques like speculative decoding and test time scaling, deriving the conditions under which they're economically dominant rather than treating them as catalog items. The episode also covers tensor processing unit and graphics processing unit architectural trade-offs at a level of detail that is uncommon in public conversation, including the bandwidth and arithmetic intensity envelopes that constrain modern accelerators. Pope is now chief executive of MATEX, the chip startup focused on building accelerators specifically optimized for transformer inference economics rather than general purpose deep learning. That biographical detail is relevant. The lecture lands within a broader argument for purpose-built silicon, and listeners should weigh the framing accordingly. Pope's prior work on tensor processing unit compilers and on the open scaling book he co-authored gives him an unusual credibility on the math, even setting aside the MATEX framing. The episode is best treated as a study guide. Patel publishes flashcards and practice problems alongside it, an admission that the material rewards re-listening with a notepad. For practitioners trying to forecast frontier model trajectories from public information, the playbook Pope lays out is one of the most useful summaries available. Stepping back across the four, there's a clear thread today, and it's the same one Pope is drawing on the chalkboard. The valuations, the data center essays, the world models, and the math behind serving, they all point at compute as the substrate that everything else now sits on. A year ago, you could have a complete picture of where the field was going by tracking model architectures and post-training tricks. Today, you can't, because the binding constraints have moved into gigawatts and grid, interconnect, and chip-level arithmetic intensity. That doesn't mean the architectures stop mattering. XWAM is a real architectural advance, but it does mean that even the architectures land into a planning cycle that's defined by what the substrate makes possible. There's a lot more in the full digest. If you want to dig in, the defense beat is busy today. Mistral shipped Vibe with Medium 3.5. Microsoft disclosed 20 million paid Copilot users, and a few other things worth your attention. Until tomorrow, keep reading papers, and maybe keep a notepad next to the speakers when you queue up the Reiner Pope episode.